Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. It is Monday, the 28th of April on the West Coast, and we're already into the 29th, or Tuesday, early morning on the East Coast. And, of course, you know how to figure out the times in between Central and Mountain. We have a very interesting guest with us. He's been on a couple of times before. He manages his own website, which is called educate-yourself.org. A lot of people just refer to it as Educate Yourself. And it is a fantastic research site, one of the best, if not the best, in the whole world. And this gentleman is also an investigative journalist, a metaphysical scientist, and a researcher extraordinaire into a lot of different areas. We came to know each other through my writing, and we have a very valuable and respectful friendship. I admire this man's work, and he has been a guest on many, many other shows throughout the years. And he is in the top of the cream of the crop of websites for research documents on many, many topics. And tonight we're going to discuss some of those topics with our special guest, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, how are you this evening?
Good. Thank you, Don. Thank you for such a nice introduction as well.
Well, I was up all last night writing it, so... No, I just winged it, sort of, as we do many things on this show. But, of course, when you do the amount of research we do, you get to know your topics pretty well, and the words just sort of flow out naturally. So
cool.
I'm glad you appreciated that.
Of course.
The last time you were on the show, we talked about tasers. Pretty much the whole show.
Correct.
That was a pretty sensitive topic with you. And, of course, it's not the only form of assault that people are experiencing these days. And I know that we intended to talk about a few different things tonight. We will be talking about chemtrails in a few minutes. But before we go there, let's talk about the current news. And you know what I'm referring to. If you want to open up that topic yourself, by all means, go ahead.
Well, if you're referring to the information, the email that you sent me this morning, then I could broach that. But I do want to to congratulate you on the stunning. Number of hits you're getting at your website for these fabulous, just phenomenal galactic photos which you posted just a couple days ago. It's a very important step forward in man's exposure, let's say, to the greater reality of our universe. And you certainly have, risen to a much higher prominence by putting these photos up there. Many of your photos are unique and special because no one else apparently has been able to obtain them besides yourself. And you have many important photos and many important photographs. But this recent batch of galactic and nebulae photo are some of the most beautiful shots that I've ever seen. And of course I understand that many of them have never been seen before. In a couple cases, we do know that a couple of the photos are similar to photos that NASA has produced, but there's a number of photos there that simply have not been ever seen before, and the shots that you have are just spectacular. So I know you've had a nearly meteoric rise in your hit rate on your website. I know when I first put up your piece a couple days ago, the hit counter was at 17, meaning 17 people had visited that site. And today, just 2.5 days later, I think you've now have gone beyond two digits by a substantial number. What can you tell me where your current visitor hit rate on those photos are, the galactic photos are at this moment?
Okay, the as of a let's say at the beginning of the show, it was around 14,630 just on the galactic photos themselves.
Whoa.
And those are, you know, individuals. Now, how many people are looking at those photos on the computer screen that's pulling those up, I don't know. But you can consider at least that many people have seen the photos. But what's interesting is I have a lot of other photos on the page, the UFO photos, some World Trade Center military photos, and some planets and moons, and some space anomalies, and all of those are getting substantial hits. There's over 37,000 hits on the index page.
Wow. And this is something that just really, the numbers began to rise dramatically with the publication of the galactic photos.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you deserve a lot of credit, Don. This is And I wonder where that, how many people will visit that website in, let's say, a week from now, a month from now. You might score some sort of a record here for hits at your website. I know the traffic got so heavy that you had to extend the bandwidth or increase your space on the website, because the server said you were getting near your maximum allotment.
Yes.
So
yeah,
that
you're allotted.
yeah,
allotted so much bandwidth per month, you know, on some sites, and
of course you thought you'd had enough for perhaps years to come.
Oh well, I didn't expect this flood. Basically, you know, my research is. My site is to enable my listeners and my readers to access things that I feel are important, research-related things, the archives of the show, or music, or anything like that. I mean, it's a multi-purpose site, and I was happy to have rising numbers anyway. My show has helped that. You know, being on BBS Radio has certainly helped my exposure.
Yes.
And writing for the Idaho Observer has helped. There were a lot of researchers out there during the past few months that set up reciprocal links with me. And I do the same gladly for them. There are many, many great researchers out there, many people doing great work, and I feel that I have a responsibility to share those people's work, such as yours. For example, you're actually the first one on my links list. It comes up that way because your last name is Adachi.
Well, that's fortunate.
I feel I have the good research sites that have a lot of integrity there on the links page, and I have a lot of video links. I do have some video, and I've got all kinds of stuff there. Really, when I started out, it was just to make my materials available to serious researchers.
Yes.
And I guess there's a lot more serious researchers than I could have imagined.
Mm-hmm.
People are definitely interested. So the site has really taken off like a rocket.
Well,
or like a flying saucer.
Well, it's well deserved. And if anyone wants to see 44 are the most unique and rare, or in many, most cases, never seen photos of different nebulae and galaxies from we'll say, a non-conventional source. They need to go to your photo section and from there click on the link that says galaxy and nebulae. They're going to be in for quite a surprise.
Yes. Now, there are always a few wackos out there. I actually received a death threat yesterday, if you can imagine that.
Because of those photos.
Sort of, I guess if you publish photos of something and it's not of people dying in Iraq or Afghanistan, somebody gets really mad about that. I don't see the connect there. I think you could become as angry as somebody putting a Walmart up in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
but why blame those things on me?
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with them. And as you know, I have written about those topics as well.
Yeah.
And I've discussed them on many a radio show. So, you know, people are going to jump to conclusions. Everybody from time to time has a bad day, but I don't think it warrants threatening someone's life.
No, of course
not.
That goes with the territory. As your website grows in popularity, your radio show grows in popularity, and the tremendous, just phenomenal hits that you've gotten on these photos is going to help do just that. You're going to get a fair amount of hate mail and just crazy people. I've become accustomed to it. Sometimes I answer negative mail, other times I don't. It depends. If I think it can serve some sort of purpose, I will publish a letter and sometimes respond. Sometimes just publishing the letter alone for comic relief is all that's necessary. Between the faulty spelling and the overcharged, over-the-top remarks, it's often funny just in and of itself. But yeah, you're going to... It just comes with the territory, and you don't want to let it bother you at all. You just gotta realize that.
No.
Yeah, because your more thoughtful reader person would never do things like that. It's only the fringe, unbalanced individual who even invests the energy to send hate mail, particularly when it's there's no logical reason for it. So you're just dealing with the. You know, with the psychotically challenged, we'll say.
Yes. Well, you know, a lot of our research touches upon those areas too. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of those people are manufactured to be that way.
Yes.
And then some people are just not a natural, I guess you could
call
them.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. There are agents out there who are mind controlled and programmed to needle, harass, and otherwise irritate people like you. Or perhaps me, or Jeff Rince, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
They are leading shallow lives, and responding to their provocations is sometimes what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Well, that said, I'm grateful for you posting my link to my website, directlightproductions.com, on your website. And I feel it fair to give out your web address again, if I can do that.
Thank you.
That's educate-or-dash, whichever word you prefer, educate-yourself.org. There are many, many topics there. And, let the new listeners know, I came to know Ken indirectly just from visiting his website. Although he didn't know I was there, other than if he saw my address come up or something, for a number of years, I had gone there to get what I considered valuable information, accurate information, and balanced information. You allow people to express both sides of an issue, and you allow people to draw their own conclusions from your research and from your journalistic. Endeavors, and you can't be any fairer than that.
Thank you.
In fact, you don't advertise that like some TV networks do.
Right.
And really, if there's anyone I've ever met that had anything to do with the mainstream or alternative media who's fair and balanced, it is you, my friend.
Thank you. That's nice of you to say, Don.
And I would say that about Jeff Rentz, too. From the short time that I've known him, he is very serious and very particular, about everything he covers. He's very, very, very experienced, very intelligent, very wise, and like yourself. So, that was the topic I was actually referring to. I don't know that we're ready to breach the subject that you and I talked about early this morning. We could, if you wanted to.
Well, what we can, if you wish, is maybe that could probably get into a fair amount of time. I'm thinking we're going to talk again on Wednesday. Let's postpone it to the first section of the talk on Wednesday, because with the time we have left today, there's a few areas that I wanted to at least briefly touch on, and then we can go into greater depth on Wednesday. The first has to do with chemtrails. There's plenty of information on my website about chemtrails. I've been posting articles and essays about chemtrails since the winter of 97-98. That's when I first put up my first stories about it, because I had just heard about chemtrails over the radio. I heard an interview between William Thomas and Art Bell, probably in December of 1997. And I quickly found out by just looking up in the sky that the sort of cloud formations that William Thomas was talking about were indeed there. And I saw the very chemtrails that he was talking about. It was quite a shock for me at the time. He was living in Vancouver, British Columbia, and I thought the phenomena he talked about was limited to his area, or, you know, certainly not my area. It never dawned on me, but when I looked up that beautiful Southern California sky, there they were, chemtrails, just like he described them, and it was quite a shock. I realized that what we're talking about in our articles and what we're hearing on the radio, as far as chemtrails goes, it's real. So that's how I was introduced to it. So I put a little introductory article in January, I believe, of 1998, and I introduced the subject. I mentioned Will Thomas, the interview on the Bell Show. And at the same time, Jeff Rentz was also publishing articles that same fall of 97, into the winter of 97-98 on chemtrails. So I took some chemtrails from Jeff Rentz's site, some chemtrail articles on it, and I wrote about the individuals who were talking about them and posted a few pictures. Now this is April of 2008. This is over 10 years later. We're continuing to post more updated articles about the whole chemtrail phenomena. Now, what surprises me is how few, or relatively few, members of the total American population are aware of chemtrails. Now, there have been many radio shows. Starting in early 98, Art Bell had numerous radio shows year by year covering chemtrails. Jeff Rentz had dozens and dozens of radio shows. Many of, you know, so-called alternative radio stations, not all though, have had interviews with people who were sort of leading researchers, like William Thomas, Chris Carnicom, and Ken Welsh, and others. Yet, so few of the general public have any notion of what's taking place over their head for the last 10 years. And this is a little bit disturbing to me, because there are some things that, you know, the general public may not be aware of, and I think to myself, people should know about that. But this information is critical to their life, health, and safety, and they're not aware of it. And sometimes when a new reader comes on board, recognizes chemtrails, becomes aware of chemtrails, I get mail from folks who, in attempting to tell their friends or their relatives about it, simply get, disbelief in return. And it's too serious a problem to put your head in the sand about. And it's quite easy to recognize chemtrails from conventional clouds, because there's many aspects of chemtrails that are just utterly different from what a cloud, which was built by nature, looks like. There's too many differences that even a child can recognize the difference. Now, I wanted to bring up the subject of chemtrail just to first point out the need of anyone who's listening to this show. If you don't know about chemtrails, do a Google search. There are thousands of websites that have a great deal of information on chemtrails. You can find it on my website. I have a big page devoted to chemtrail articles, lots of photos. But you have to, once you become aware that this spraying is taking place, you have to make it your business to awaken other people. If a substantial proportion of the American population was aware of chemtrail spraying, was aware of the toxicity involved, was aware of the true purpose of chemtrails, which is, in a nutshell, population reduction. It's a genocidal operation. Its intention is to get large numbers of people, not only in North America, but many other places of the world, to be breathing in these toxins, which will create chronic debilitations of our immune systems, and for those who have weakened immune systems, the very young, the very old, their symptoms of respiratory difficulty or even acute respiratory attack has risen dramatically. For instance, there was one naturopath who was interviewed by Chris Carnicom in his documentary called Aerosol Crimes, a lady named Gwen Scott. I think she's in perhaps New Mexico or Arizona. She's a naturopath. And she said that prior to chemtrail sprayings, prior to 97, 98, the rate of asthma against children in her local town, it might have been Phoenix, I'm not sure the town she quoted, maybe Flagstaff or Phoenix. She said the rate of asthma attack among young children was 4%. In the year that documentary was made, which I believe was 2005, she said that same rate of asthma, acute asthma attack against suffered by young children in that city, I believe it was Phoenix, had risen to 70%. Now imagine that.
That's incredible.
4% before chemtrails to over 70 after 7 years of chemtrail bombardment. So we have to encourage people who are aware of chemtrails, don't keep the information to yourself. There will be a groundswell of political action if enough people are aware of the fact that we are being poisoned from the air in order to cull the population by very large numbers. Now, we can do something about chemtrails. We use a device called an orgone generator. It helps a great deal. I wish we had more tools in our arsenals, but nevertheless, orgone generators can do phenomenal things. When you do a search on Google for an orgone generator, I have a whole page devoted to them on my website. You can read what they are, different sizes of these devices, how they are made, the instructions to make them are there if you want to make your own. However, these devices help change the, what Wilhelm Reich called the polarity of orgone energy, which is diffused everywhere throughout the universe, into a more positive form. Chemtrails, like smog, need a type of energy, they call it door energy, to hold it together. It's like a glue. And this same sort of door energy is what holds smog together. If you can reverse the polarity of this energy towards the positive form, is called OR, of orgone energy, what happens is that the glue kind of breaks up the bonds between the particles that are involved in the chemtrail substance that they're dropping. The glue kind of gives way, and the chemtrail disperses much more easily rather than fan out into a large white overcast of the entire sky, which we're all used to now for many years. So read about orgone generators. Find out what a chem buster is. Find out what a little power buster is, and how, because you can change these chemtrails. You can cause them to disperse. And more, even more dramatically, you can bring in a type of creature that the ancient Greeks referred to as sylphs. A sylph is what is known as an air elemental. It's a creature of nature. It has always been here on Earth, as long as man has been here on Earth. Elemental beings have been working with Mother Nature. They are certain type of elemental that works in the ocean. Some type of elementals work in the forest to help plants grow. Some type of elementals work with the mineral kingdom. They're sort of caretakers, if you will. And there are caretakers of the atmosphere, and they are called sylphs. And normally we don't see sylphs with the naked eye, but because of the seriousness of the chemtrail assault in the last 4 or 5 years, sylphs have managed to manifest themselves into what looks to the uneducated eye as a cloud form, but an unusual, strange-looking cloud form. Because the sylph very often will take on the shape of what we would call an animal. It might look like a winged animal. It might look like a shark or a whale, or even sometime a wolf, a dog, a dragon. One man, Fred Gunn, photographed a sylph that looked exactly like a flying duck. It's just amazing. I photographed a sylph, I think it was in the summer of 2004, I believe, that was the only object in the sky on a particular Sunday morning when I was writing an article about sylphs. And this creature assumed the perfect image of a Japanese flying crane. It's the most unbelievable thing I've ever encountered. And that picture is available on my webpage, which I call Sylphs. You scroll down to the flying crane sylph. I believe it's in the summer, June of 2004. So, we can do something about chemtrails, but you have to find out what orgone generators are. You got to read about sylphs, and you got to understand that beyond using toys like orgone generators, you can use your mind. You can create a reality with your mind to help disperse chemtrails, because these sylphs are intelligent beings. They can pick up your telepathic thoughts. If you direct them towards them, they will detect what you're communicating, and you ask them to help you clean up your skies of chemtrails. Many people have done this, and I've received dozens of emails in response to people's astonishment at the sudden appearance of a sylph, and they could see that the sylph is attacking and transmuting the chemtrails into a less toxic form. I just had a man from northern Italy send me an email a couple days ago, and he said, I think I saw a sylph because we're getting hit so hard with chemtrails here, and I asked, because I was so angry, I asked the sylph, and so he said, I took a picture, do you want to see it? And I wrote him back, I said, sure. And he just sent me the picture today. I just put it on my website today. If you go to my current news page and scroll down to latest articles, you'll see an article 4 or 5 from the top. It'll say chemtrails over northern Italy. And what a remarkable shot of a sylph the man got out of the window of his home. I don't know if you're sitting in front of your computer, Don, but if you want to just take a look at that page, you might give me your opinion on it. Is it convenient for you to go to my current news page at this time?
Oh, I can do that if you give me a second.
Okay, if I didn't...
I wonder, while I'm doing that, can we digress for a moment?
Sure.
Because there's an issue about chemtrails, and of course, you know, I consider you one of the foremost experts just on the basis of your experience. This is something that you could certainly share with the listening audience, what the composition, even in a general sense, what the composition is of a chemtrail, what you know about why they're putting the substances and the toxins in there. And let's forget about the stories that they say, well, this is for improved radio waves or to reflect light off of the surface of the planet to reduce global warming.
Yes.
Those are idiotic explanations.
Right, but as always is the case when the New World Order gang, the Illuminati, is engaged in their genocidal activities, they naturally have legions and hordes of disinformation specialists working the internet in order to inject obfuscations, distortion, and to keep people in a state of confusion. That attempt to explain away chemtrails first only came from internet individuals. It's never been an official statement from the government, because the government never has officially owned up to chemtrail spraying at all. But you did have some statements or articles that alluded to Edward Teller having supposedly suggested that the sun was getting too hot, and in order to keep the earth from becoming too hot, we might have to disperse these metal particles around the world to reflect the sun back. Well, it's true. One of the many substances that are part of chemtrail sprayings are very, very fine particles of metal. Now, the metals that they've detected, there are a number of metals, but barium and aluminum are the two most common that are reported. But other metals have been reported, including gold. Very, very fine gold has been found among chemtrail precipitates. Now, I'm only guessing at the reason for the metal. It definitely has... Barium is not a good metal to breathe and ingest and get into your body, nor is aluminum. They're both toxic metals. These substances, besides getting into our air, which we breathe in our lungs, are falling on the ground. They're getting into the ground soil. They're contaminating plants. They're changing the acidity of soil, and they're contaminating surface water as well. And then when you have rains, runoff, so it's even getting into subsurface water. So no metal dropped, you know, these are very fine particles. They're probably on the order of nanoparticles of metal. It is a very poisonous substance, and we should not be breathing it, and it should not be in our soil. So the foolish and ludicrous assertion that this is a mechanical way to prevent the sun from heating up the earth excessive is a cover story. It's false. And the purpose of it is to try to give to the unwary, uncritical thinker some sort of excuse, because they know the analysis of the fallout keeps on showing up metal, barium and aluminum being the most common. So if they can present some sort of off-the-wall, sort of logical-sounding national security type of reason, maybe a certain percentage of people will buy it. And I'm sorry to say a certain percentage of people do buy it. But it's a false story. It's a bogus story. I believe that part of the reasons for the metal has nothing to do with reflecting sunlight. That's not the purpose at all. Or acting as a radar reflection or any other CIA-concocted disinformation stories. I believe, though, it does have to do with both poisoning the body, poisoning the food supply, poisoning the soil, because metals accumulate in the body and they attack the nerves particularly, because we have thousands of enzymes that need to function in the right way. All enzymes have a particular metal with them. They have what they call a coenzyme vitamin, but there's also a metal, an atom of a particular metal. Because of the valence of barium or aluminum, if you know a little bit about chemistry, an atom with a higher valence in a way is more powerful than a similar valent atom that has, let's say, only one, a valence of one. So the more powerful atom can displace an original atom, let's say, in an enzyme molecule. Now, the enzyme note doesn't work.
Yeah. Like the difference between H2O and H2SO4, for example.
One way to put it, yeah. But let's say you know that human hemoglobin, for instance, has an atom of iron in it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
However, chlorophyll, which is, you know, the blood of plants, if you will, looks very, as a molecule, is almost identical to human hemoglobin, except in place of the iron, it has a magnesium atom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you just switch those atoms, and you can go from hemoglobin to chlorophyll. If you do that with an enzyme, if you ingest these, breathe in, and you get a whole toxic waste dump of barium in your bloodstream. These are very small particles. They're going into your deepest tissue. Your enzymes, the ones that are affected by that, that could be affected by that metal, is going to be crippled, because in place of the, I'm just guessing, but let's say there's a, your particular enzyme might need a magnesium atom, and if the barium can knock off the magnesium, your enzyme isn't going to work. Now, we have thousands of enzymes in our body that do thousands of jobs. I'm not just talking about digestion. Every biologic process in the body, from hormone production to, both the anabolic and the catabolic process in the body, depend on enzymes for the biologic a reaction to occur. Enzymes are critical to life. So
I can tell you, I know from personal experience that if you need potassium as a supplement, let's say for your heart, to digest the potassium and or to metabolize the potassium, magnesium is necessary.
Right. You're right. There's many systems that need a balance of two or more minerals. There's a very important calcium-magnesium balance that needs to take place in the thyroid, and in turn it regulates the magnesium-calcium balance in the blood. Yes, there's many of these mechanisms that have various elements from the periodic table. Well, barium is an element, aluminum is an element, and it could play havoc with the body. So, what we're talking about is that, yes, there are metals, there are pathogenic organisms, there are desiccated red blood cells with bioengineered bacteria, there are nanobot objects also being sprayed in chemtrails that people are getting into their bodies, and then, voila, around the year, when was it, 2004, 2005, I'm not sure, we suddenly come up with a new disease all over the internet. Well, it wasn't all over right away. It took a couple years. It's called Morgellons, brand new disease. Can't figure it out. Some sort of organism is able to produce what looks like synthetic fibers inside the body. And people who have this, it's not a disease, it's an introduced biological, well, it's not even biologic, because it's a cross between a biological organism and a nanotechnology insert.
Mm-hmm. So if I can interject something here in relation to that. The strands looked at in a microscope, and these are
the fiber strands you're talking about.
Yes, these fibrous strands
associated with Morgellons.
Yes, associated with Morgellons have been looked at under a microscope.
Yes.
Michael Anthony knows a particular nurse in the state of Michigan who had Morgellons.
Yes.
And I say had Morgellons, okay? She was able to see fly larvae of a specific species that grows or lives in South America and Africa. And the larvae spin a type of silk. And so with all of these components that you're describing, not to mention anthrax and some others,
yeah,
that tuberculosis and pneumonia.
Mycoplasma, Lyme, a large number of people in this country have mycoplasma in their bloodstream and they have Lyme and they don't know it. How do they get it? They got it from breathing chemtrail fallout.
Yes. So I bring that up because that is one living organism that this nurse saw under a microscope.
Wow.
She saw the larvae and they were identified as being a South American and African fly.
Wow.
So that's a pretty important component there, that there's a live organism basically living like a parasite.
Mm-hmm.
And just wreaking havoc. Not to mention the pain and the discomfort that people feel.
Oh, yeah.
It's a horrible disease.
It is, because those people feel like crawling under their skin. I mean, the itching and all that, it's irritating the nerves of their skin cells so badly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very rough one. My heart goes out to people who are afflicted with Morgellons.
Well, I'm on your website here now. I have been for some...
Yeah, I just wanted you to take a look, maybe just to go down the latest articles on the current news page. The third one from the top is that chemtrails over northern Italy.
Okay.
Click that one on. And then there's a little short note from a man named Alberto in northern Italy. And he's expressing to me that... you know, he's getting a little depressed and upset that the chemtrails are really intensive in his area. And he asked me in another part of the email about, will chembusters help him? And I told him they sure will. And I wanted him to know that the chembusters and the orgone generators will help bring in more silks. And he he said in his note that he thinks he took a picture of himself, and I tell him in my response, oh, please send me the picture. I'd like to see what you have. And he did. And if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, okay, you'll see that magnificent sylph that he took a picture out of his window. And, of course, this man wasn't sure it was a sylph, but he intuitively felt it was. And he was surprised that because he was so angry about the chemtrails being right outside his window there, that the sylph appeared suddenly, he said, and began to dissipate the chemtrail. And I added my little remark there, just mm-hmm. above the photo, you'll see there,
yeah,
something that I've picked up in talking about things metaphysical, is that when we want to send the thought to the universe, it's the thought carries much more power, if you will. It's at a much higher level of transmission if you do that thought projection with emotion. Now, it doesn't have to be negative emotion. In this case, Alberto was upset and angry, but there's an emotional charge there. Now, what we generally use is the emotion of love.
I see a sylph here.
Oh, that's a huge sylph.
It's huge, and it's hard to tell if it's male or female. Looks more on the male side.
Well, you can see near towards the bottom of the photo, over the trees there, there seems to be a being with what looks like two upstretched arms,
mm-hmm.
something that looks like a face, a couple eyes,
yes,
and a body. And then there's a much larger structure above it.
Oh, yes. Head and shoulders, I see everything.
Yes.
Now, you sent me a picture of, I think you told me it was pretty recent.
Well, the ones from this morning, I told you I was photographing chemtrails and sylphs. They started early in the morning here, which is a little bit of a, often they don't spray in the morning in this area. Often they would start late afternoon, but sometimes they switch and they hit heavy in the morning, and that was the case today. So,
Oh, there's a sylph in the third picture that you sent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's always sylphs whenever chemtrails get sprayed here. If there's a day with just natural clouds, no spraying, I usually don't see a sylph. But anytime chemtrails are sprayed, which is most of the time, I will see sylphs. And some days there's just unbelievable, all the whole sky is filled with sylphs. I have easily 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 pictures that I've taken right outside my own door of sylphs. I just need to find the time to put more of them up, because I typically take 20, 30, or 40, 50 pictures a day of what's going on in the sky.
Yeah. This one, it's the third one that you sent me. I see the sylph at the top center of the picture. I see the eyes. It's funny, they choose hair, too.
Yes.
Not just eyes and a nose and a mouth, they have hair.
Right.
and you can see this sylph is intent on blowing a hole in the sky, and it's working.
Yeah.
There's blue sky coming through all around him.
Yes. And
yeah,
that's the reason I wanted to bring up chemtrails tonight, at
yep.
least mention the subject.
Mm-hmm.
That I do get a lot of mail from people who first report how badly they're getting hit and how depressed they're getting hit, and in some cases they're asking me about getting a chembuster, and sure, we can arrange that, but very often they say, can we do anything about this? And that's what I want anyone who ever listens to this show know. You definitely can do something about it. Orgone generators are the most effective tool we have to date, because the orgone generator changes the atmospheric orgone polarity from the negative potential, which is door, towards the positive. With the positive potential, all the destructive aspects that are, maybe aspects not the best word, but let's say destructive intent that is infused into the chemtrail are reversed. And then a large orgone generator, or even the smaller tower busters, if you can bury them close to cell phone towers, they help to they convert the cell phone tower from a door broadcaster, because all microwaves broadcast a door, a negative orgone energy field. We reverse the polarity. Now they become the positive orgone broadcaster. These beams will pull in sylphs into your area. They recognize the change in the energy signature, and they're drawn to it, you know, like fish come to bait. They're drawn in. And I believe that's why I see so many sylphs here, because I'm making orgone generators every day. I've got, of course, I have my own big 5-gallon Chembuster set up on my patio, but, you know, I'm making Chembusters every day, so I got a lot of orgone generators in various stages of construction here, and that may be the reason I get such a large show of sylphs. I mean, it was just a magnificent one direct over my house today. I just couldn't get over it. Mm-hmm. So beautiful. I was trying to photograph it from different angles. I took a video of it. I'm trying to get the whole thing in. It's hard. It was so big. But, and then, oh, 2 weeks ago, oh my God, I had a dragon sylph that was just something. It looked like a Chinese dragon. It was so magnificent. Wings spread, looking right down at me. It was amazing. I called my wife outside. I said, "You've got to see this." Right. Looking right at me. It was amazing. I took a dozen pictures of that guy.
Now, in addition, I don't want to leave the glory of what you're feeling, you know, when you see these. Do I have your permission to post these on my site, by the way?
Oh, sure. I mean, okay. I'll send you lots more than that. Those were just three I took. I took about a dozen this morning. And yeah. What I'll do is I'm going to upload the ones that I took later in the afternoon, the evening, are just wonderful, because here's a good example of this whole day shooting of chemtrails photos. This is a good example. They tried to bombard this area with chemtrails. Sylphs came in and were attacking, transmuting the chemtrails all day long. And as the day goes on, I can see these cloud banks of transmuted. Now, this is formerly toxic substance. The sylphs can transmute these into benign substances, water and other benign substances of nature, and they form into cloud banks all on their own. Now, I realize for the new listener, this might sound like I'm crazy, but trust me, what I'm explaining is actually taking place. There are 4 or 5 excellent essays on my website written by Z.S. Livingstone that explains in great detail how sylphs transform chemtrails into non-toxic substances. The essays are up there. Just read them if you don't believe what I'm saying.
The fourth picture you sent me, the sylph is blowing the chemtrails. I see its mouth wide open.
Yes. Very often, many of the shots we have, particularly when sometimes the sylph takes on the appearance of a shark with an open mouth, sort of eating the chemtrails. We've had some that look like whales that were ingesting the entire chemtrail as if it was a line of krill. I mean, they have assumed so many animal shapes, it's just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'll do is, after the show, I'll upload the other pictures I took today, and the ones in the evening, by time the evening, they had transmuted the sylphs. We just had an army of sylphs all over the sky above me all day long. And they did such a thorough job that now, by evening, there was no more of that chemtrail haze gone. The
yeah.
sun, for a change, looked so bright. It was setting in the west, but the rays were so white-yellow, you know, not even yellow, but white. Coming
yes.
through clear without that haze. And the blue of the sky looked so deep blue, and these cumulus clouds had actually formed from the residue of transmuted chemtrails. It was just a magnificent. And then you see these remnants of these magnificent-looking sylphs all over the sky. When I send those photos, you'll want to put up a 6 or 7 or 8 of them. They're just magnificent. And those are just the ones I took today. I have hundreds of spectacular sylph shots. And what I want the listener to know that it's because I thoroughly seeded or gifted, as we tend to say in the orgone movement, I gifted this area with orgone generators. Years ago, I went through all the flood control channels that we have in this part of Southern California. There's a little bit of water running in the bottom. I tossed in tower busters, muffins we call them, into the flood control systems. We have a lot of artificial, we made lakes in this area. I've gone to all those. They've all been gifted with the muffin. And when you throw a muffin orgone generator into a body of water, even a pool, even a small body of water, a little pool, a stream, it acts as an amplifier. It amplifies the orgone transmutation process big time. So we try to either bury a generator, an orgone generator, a muffin, under a tree, if possible, because the tree acts as an antenna and it broadcasts it. Or we'll, if we can do it, toss it in any kind of body of water. The water amplifies the action. So I did that a number of years ago. Plus, I, as I mentioned, I have the big chembuster. And I can see, it's very obvious, I have so many pictures to prove it, that the sylphs almost go around my house in a circle. I can see like what looks almost like a zodiac of sylphs circling around that big 5-gallon CB I've got in my, on my patio, because they're, you know, they're kind of working with the energy. Plus my intent, every time I go out there, I'm, you know, telepathically thanking the sylphs for helping and encouraging them to really clean, vacuum the skies of every last toxic particle so all the children running around in that area don't breathe in all that crap. And so I kind of have this little mental dialogue with the sylphs whenever I go out there. Now, naturally, I don't hear any voices back. It's nothing like that. But I have full faith that they can hear what I'm saying. They're just operating at a higher dimension. But some people can communicate with sylphs, and this wonderful Canadian writer and psychic named C.S. Livingstone, who has many dozens of articles on posted on my website, he can communicate with sylphs. And he has confirmed that sylphs do pick up your thoughts, and if you direct your intentions to them, they pick it up, they appreciate it, and they resonate with that. They feel your love, to quote Bill Clinton, I feel your love. And they respond.
I'm wondering, Ken, what do sylphs think of politicians?
Oh, well, I don't know. They're probably laughing as hard as we do, at least when we think of the current crop of the Three Stooges running today. But I just gotta think that they're having as good a laugh as we are. I mean, it must be pretty amusing to them.
Yes. I wanted to add one thing that came out recently with the announcement of a conference that took place in Texas. I'm not sure if it was in Austin or Houston or Dallas, but I know that there was a within the last week or so there was a conference that took place where they were going to discuss Morgellons and some of the research that they had found. All the things we're talking about, and there was a reference to Paxil, which is a drug used for depression, and Valium, and that they when they stop the spraying after spraying for a few days, people begin to experience withdrawal symptoms, and you see the mood of many people change. Especially people that work outside or spend a lot of time outside when the spraying is going on.
I see.
And then they begin spraying again, and then they're taking in more of this, and their mood changes, and then they go again through the withdrawal. So this is being used as a psychological tool also.
Okay. Well, that makes sense to me because, of course, pharmaceuticals are showing up in drinking water. People don't know that. And
birth control pills and
yes, hormone disruptors. Right, that could be very serious. So we'll have to spend time on another show talking about how you can filter, distill, and otherwise or ozonate your water so you know you're not drinking in any of those. contaminants.
Okay. Well, Ken, we're out of time. You know, I'd like to have you on again tomorrow, but we're leaving that kind of up.
Well, we'll leave it open. So maybe we will do it tomorrow. Maybe we'll go right through Wednesday, because we both know how these subjects can require a lot of ventilation, and an hour goes by all too quick, it seems, because we're trying to cover more than one topic. So maybe we will pick it up again tomorrow. I'll confirm with you tomorrow, but if that's the case, we should be able to get something done with two additional hours on this, because we never did get to the water for fuel topic, which I presume we'll get to in a day or so. And there's other preparations, or let's say advice on how to sustain yourself and take care of yourself, no matter what the economy is doing. We've got to start talking about these things.
Yeah. Now, so what we want to stress here for the listeners is we're not trying to create fear. We're trying to bring the cognizance and the understanding and the discernment of what's actually going on here.
Right.
Despite what the media says. Folks, you're not going to hear this on mainstream media. They're not telling you the truth about anything.
And
I'm sure you would agree with me on that one.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to continue. Hopefully you'll be with us again tomorrow night. I'm not trying to blackmail you into it.
No, but I'm thinking that maybe, yeah, we will be able to do it tomorrow night and pick it up from where we've left off here, because there are a lot of other areas I want to get into, but all these, if we're going to talk for 3 days, I want the listener to know that there is nothing that the New World Order, the manipulators, the planners of this one world government, there is nothing they can throw at us that we cannot overcome, that we cannot get around, that we cannot survive. Nothing. Including the chemtrails, including all their dark plans. We're going to talk about ways that we can continue to live free and not allow this destructive agenda to overtake us. I have infinite faith or belief or inner feeling in the principle that for every problem that is presented to you, there is always a solution near at hand if you have an open heart and you're looking for the solution. It will always present itself to you if you're just open. And no matter how technologically advanced these poisons are, or these technologies they're using against us, it doesn't matter. We're going to be led to the information that's going to give us the antidote for whatever they throw at us. That's what people need to know, is that no matter what they do, we're going to find a solution. In many cases, we are. The chemtrail problem already... You know, the orgone generators make a huge difference. And then, of course, the help of the sylphs has made a very dramatic difference in how much of this toxic material we're getting. So we're getting a bare fraction, I believe, of fallout than we would otherwise get if it wasn't for the work of the sylphs to help clean up those chemtrails.
Well, okay. Great message, and very fascinating show tonight, and I look forward, we'll cross our fingers on tomorrow. I know you're scheduled for Wednesday, so all things working out that you can be with us tomorrow. We'll continue with some other issues. I know that we want to talk about some alternative energy ideas that people can put to use right away.
Yes, know that the cost of gasoline is over $4 a gallon, at least it is here, and the cost of oil is, I believe, is $120 a barrel today. They want to try to cripple us with this phony oil crisis. There is no oil crisis. But we can get around all that because we don't need their stinking oil. And we're gonna talk about ideas on how to get energy in other ways.
Well, maybe we can do that tomorrow. And then, again, we're about bringing the solutions. We point out the problem and then give you an option to take control.
Yep.
And when you do that, you get your life back.
That's right.
A great thing.
That's right.
Okay, Ken Adachi, thank you so much for being on Evident Footprints tonight. And I look forward, I look forward to tomorrow night. I'll be positive.
Okay.
See, I got my orgone generator going.
Okay, Don. Well, thank you so much. And look forward to our next chat.
All right. Very good. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And our guest this evening, Mr. Ken Adachi, please visit his website at educate-yourself.org. Or for those that don't like the word dash, educate-yourself.org. And check out the mountain of research that is on that website. Also, pay my website a visit, directlightproductions.com. And don't just go there to look at the galactic photos. Check out some articles. I've got actually some really nice research pieces that Ken Adachi himself wrote on my archives page. And, of course, I've got my articles there. Sponsors are very important. They make the show possible, and we have some great ones. The Idaho Observer is one. Michael Anthony is another. Judy Andreas. The list goes on, and you'll be hearing more about them as time goes on. Please visit these websites. In the meantime, I want to wish everyone a very peaceful, light, and love-filled night, and thanks to Seth and Don in the studio, and everyone have a great night. Good night.
Details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.